Our New Testament lesson this morning will be from the letter to the Hebrews, changed from the one that's printed in your order for worship. This is a letter that is written back to people, well, we don't really know who or what or when or where, but possibly to some of the Jewish Christians who might have been in Jerusalem, but certainly to those who came from the Jewish context and have now become Christians. And so there's a great deal of emphasis on imitating your behavior, your words, on the basis of the witnesses, the martyrs, the models of faith that have gone before you. So our here what the Spirit is saying to the church, that by faith, people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they'd been encircled. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish for those who were disobedient. What more should I say? Time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies in flight. Now others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. Killed by the sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. So therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, he endured the terms, the life of stress, disregarding the shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right, so now we move into the harangue proper. William Walsham Howe wrote the text for All the Saints, but it wasn't called that. The heading that William Walsham Howe put on it is called A Saint's Day Hymn, A Cloud of Witnesses, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, which is, that's why we switched to Hebrews here. So because you are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, all these people who have gone before us, and of course you start from time immemorial, you can go from Adam all the way up. And of course there are people who experience all sorts of joys, but there are also people who experience incredible sorrows, sufferings, and that's what that text does. It doesn't say everybody who went before us, it's all a primrose path here, but there were people who experienced the ups, and the people experienced the downs, but all the cloud of witnesses who went before us, they are surrounding us, they are cheering us on, and you are to continue to run the race with perseverance to the end goal, as did they. Whether there be the ups and the downs, whether it be joys or sorrows, that is what we are called to do. So, therefore, he writes this hymn text, which you have printed. I don't know whether it's page 3 or 8 or 28, but somewhere there on the bulletin, after the sending for all the saints. That is printed in your bulletin, isn't it? Make sure that it's there. Oh. Three stanzas, right?
1, 3, and 5.
Okay. Just to make sure. Some of mine sometimes is different from everybody else's here. All right. So, writing a hymn text is always a... You have to be a lot more than a poet, because you also have to be a theologian, and those are two different skill sets to have. Let's see. A lot of people will rhyme the second, they'll rhyme all the lines. That's a challenge. That's very difficult. Simple way out of that is to rhyme lines 2 and 4. This, though, is 3 lines. This is what's called tercet. And he rhymes them all. So he's kind of didn't quite do all four, but those three is in between. So you see, you have rest, confess, left, right? Divine, shine, thine. Now, he is known as the poor man's bishop. He's this English guy back in the 1800s. He had a ministry that particularly served the destitute in London, the slums, and the factory workers, and so he was known as the poor man's bishop. He did ascend, if you will, to become a bishop in the Anglican Church. So he writes this hymn text for all the saints. Now you see how it begins here. It begins really with the heavenly choirs. That's really what this is. This is a text that lends itself to antiphonal singing, back and forth, side to side. So these are really the heavenly choirs that are singing for all the saints who from their labors rest. This is the cloud of witnesses. Yeah. And what did they do? They confessed Christ. These were believers. These were people who were members of Christ's church, who thereby by faith before the world confessed your name, okay? Thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. So this is 1864. I always like to put these things in historical context, and of course you kind of start with our context, that being America. 1864, we're in the midst of a raging civil war, right? He is writing this hymn for all the saints. Now it needs a tune, right? Because every text needs a tune. He's not a musician, so you've got to get somebody to write a hymn tune. So Joseph Barnaby looks at this text, and it takes him a couple of years, but he then writes a tune called Sarum. Okay. So what we'll do is Melissa will play Sarum, and we'll sing the first stanza here. And he decides, I think we need to move this along a little bit. It is supposed to have a bit of, well, he believes that William Washam Howe wanted something that was more upbeat, more celebratory, more affirming. So he's going to write for this text, Engelberg, in 1904. So let's hear Engelberg, and then we'll try Engelberg.
Thank you.
Vaughn Williams. Now you're thinking, oh, is this the Ralph Vaughan Williams? Well, yeah, probably one of the most notable English composers of the 20th century. But in 1906, this is just Ralph Vaughan Williams, who's a student of Charles Stanford. He decides that he's got a better idea. He feels this has to be a little bit of a movement, too. So he's going to put in what they call a walking bass to this. And it's going to have a sense of marching to it. In fact, sometimes it is used as a processional. And then he's going to do something a little tricky, a typical Vaughan Williams touch, where the alleluia will kind of enter a smidgen before you really expect it. So let's, I don't even know if we need to hear it. We don't need to hear this. We'll just sing the first stanza here. Actually a much more spectacular marriage of that text and that tune. We've done that a few different times. So Charles might have been won up by his student, but his tune Engelbert went off to also greater heights and glory. So this is really kind of the heavenly choir that sings this for all the saints who have confessed, okay, the name of Jesus. Then what happened, now there are 11 stanzas to this tune, to this text, but very few hymnals, almost no hymnals, print all 11. They pick out 5 or 4 or 6 or somewhere in that vicinity. So we go kind of back and forth here. This is really what you'd call kind of the earthly choir. So now we have the people, us, yep, saints below, saints above, in Wesley's terminology here. Oh, blessed communion, the fellowship divine. We feebly struggle. And that is exactly what we do. We try, we succeed, we try, we fail, self-interest gets in the way, or we simply don't have enough courage to stand up to the principalities and powers, and we shrink back. We try, we feebly struggle, but they in glory shine. These are our models. These are the saints. These are the witnesses. This is the cloud of witnesses who go before us. All are one in thee, for all are thine. So on this day of all days, we know that when we break bread together, we are breaking together in the, within the communion of saints. Saints above, saints below, all those who have gone before us. We are all breaking bread together at the Lord's table. So let's try the second stanza, and let's just stay with Sine Nomine. That was the name that Vaughan Williams gave to the text. It's without a name. That's what that means in Latin. So all these saints, well, some have names, but there's a lot of saints before us that we don't know their names, and there's a lot of saints around us throughout God's creation. We don't know their names. God knows each and every saint's name, but we sing Sine Nomine, O Blessed Communion. stanza is in every hymnal. This stanza, O Blessed Communion, kind of the earthly choir, very common in 90%. And then the 11th stanza is pretty much 100% also in all of the hymnals. And it's really a combination of the earthly and the heavenly choirs singing together. From earth's wide bounds, wherever we come from, north, east, south, or west, makes no difference. From ocean's farthest coast, so everyone within creation, they all go through the gates, yeah, the gates of pearl, streams in the countless hosts. So this is the communion of the saints above and the saints below, all ultimately brought together. Now these, of course, are earthly images, so we have to be wary of getting trapped into earthly images that we're describing something that is heavenly. Who knows what the heavenly reality is? These are simply small-minded earthly images for our small earthly brains to envision all from north, east, south, and west, north, and south, all stream through the same gates in countless hosts. And what are they doing? They are all singing together in unison, the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? So we'll finish off here. Because it sounded like jazz music. This is 1906. Sounded a little bit like Joplin or some derivation of Joplin or others. But it's a good example of how sometimes new traditions hang around and they become the old traditions. It's almost unthinkable nowadays that we would sing this text to any other tune, right? I don't know, I've never counted, but I'm going to guess that in my lifetime, I have sung this hymn and probably Amazing Grace more than any other hymn, because I've had in my record book like 655 funerals in my life. So that's probably about 600 of those people use those two particular hymns, and then you throw in All Saints Days and who knows other types of songs. So indeed, William Walsham Howe has struck it rich with this one. This is his most famous one. Although we also sing a Word of God Incarnate. We've used that sometimes for the prayer for illumination. And of course we do, as we will today, we give thee but thine own. That's William Walsham Howe also. But this is probably his most famous and well-known text. And it is certainly one of Vaughan Williams's most notable hymn tunes, although he has a catalog of hymn tunes, being one of the most famous composers of the 20th century, In the Name of Christ.